with The Burt Show.
As we come in here this morning, I think if we went around the room and asked, I think we'd all be on the same page that the hour and a half that we spent with Usher yesterday was probably one of the most epic days all of us have spent in radio.
It ranks up there very, very, very high.
It hit me when I got home, like, wow, we just talked to Usher. Like,
For an hour.
It's amazing.
So, yeah, yesterday at around 1 o'clock, Usher came in here, 1:30. Usher came in here yesterday.
You called it.
Yeah, well, that's just superstar time right there. And frankly, he probably had till 2, 2:30 or 3 or 5. We just stuck around. But Usher was in here yesterday, and we got him on a day where he was ready to talk, he was ready to be vulnerable, he was ready to be wise, he was ready to be fun. And as I've told these guys over and over and over again, I think when it comes to interviewing celebrities, which I've certainly soured on the last couple of years, because I don't want to really, like, talk about meaningful stuff, you know?
So you want to keep it on, like, superficial level.
Yeah, it's not nearly as fun anymore, you know. And radio, the format of radio has changed also to where we used to have celebrities in here for an hour and we would talk to them. These long-form interviews don't really happen in radio anymore. So it's not as fun to do. But either way, so Usher comes in here yesterday. I'm not really sure what to expect. We'll explain the history here in just one second. And at the end of the day, it ended up, I think, when I look back at my career, I'm going to look back at that day and say what he allowed us to do with him yesterday was probably one of the top five experiences I've had in this industry.
It was very, very cool to be a part of. And I think a lot of that had to do with your all's history. And the beef was squashed, but re-squashing the beef and just setting a new tone. It was hella cool to witness.
So we're still editing the interview because it was so long. So we're going to put it up in a couple of different parts. We'll play some of it for you on the show this morning. Then if you guys are huge Usher fans, what we'll do is we'll put the whole thing up online later so you could listen to it unedited and listen to all the nuances and everything else. But just to start off and give you a little tease before we play more of it later on in the show, as Kristen was referring to, I got to go back 20 years for this thing to even start with Usher. And it goes something like this. When Usher and Chili were dating from TLC, she came on the show and I was interviewing her. And during that interview, I asked her about the relationship because there were rumors that they had broken up. And she said that Usher had committed the ultimate no-no. Now, I didn't go in and go, so you talk about sex, right?
I'm talking about infidelity, right?
Be specific.
But it was the ultimate no-no, and everybody assumed that that's exactly what it was. Well, as luck would have it, or unluck would have it, Usher was on the schedule to come in, I believe, like the next week or so. So this thing is still hot. And keep in mind, this was 20 years ago when we didn't have X. We didn't have Instagram. Anything that went viral was through People Magazine and Us, and at that point,
like
Entertainment
actually
Tonight.
In the magazine.
Yeah. Wow. Well. Abby, magazines. A
couple pages.
So when Chili said that, it was not only national, but it was worldwide entertainment news. And it was the first time or second time that the Burt Show had ever had that kind of press before. It was a huge story. So Usher was coming in the next week, and I can't remember what project. He certainly wasn't coming in specifically to address that. It was something else. I can't remember what it was. But dude walked in here heated. Now, he was 25 years old at the time, and your perspective at 25 is very different than his is now at 45 that you guys saw yesterday. He was heated. And I think even before the interview started, maybe, he said something to the effect of, I just want to let you know that this show, and he's pointing at me and everybody else that was in here, is the reason why Chili and I aren't with each other and we won't be with each other for the rest of our lives or something like that. So he stopped me in my tracks and I said, we're the reason? I said, and I specifically remember saying, you have to take responsibility for your actions. And at that point, it escalated and it really got really, really heated. So that's how our relationship started. Now we fast forward to yesterday, and I am not sure how this is going to go. He's been in here before, but there have been tense moments, and it's been very superficial. So when he walked in, I didn't want to talk about it at all. It was 20 years ago. I told these guys, I'm not going to bring it up. If he brings it up, then we have to go down that road.
No, and we also got an email saying, don't bring it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. After we had made that decision, though.
Yeah, for sure.
So Cassie thinks that she was observing Usher more than I was. I was kind of nervous when he walked in studio. She thinks he might have been just as nervous about this interaction we were having yesterday as I was.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty quiet, as you are when you meet a new group of people, but it just seemed the way he broached it, and you shut it down a couple of times because you're like, yeah, we're not going to go that route because you had, you know, made the decision not to, and he kept bringing it up, and it just, the way he approached it is the most tentative I've ever seen a celebrity talk in an interview. So he definitely, you know, and he didn't dance around it. Like, he brought it up. So I think he went in to clear the air, and I thought that was super, super cool.
He almost like demanded that we talked about it.
Yes. It's like he wanted to get off his chest.
Yeah, I just, I didn't want anything to do with it. And when he brought it up, I'm like, no, man, no, because I didn't know where he was going with it.
And I'm excited to listen to this because I was opening up a bottle of champagne at the time. So I was trying to focus really hard on not screwing up the bottle of champagne while trying also to listen to all this tea.
So when he starts opening up about it, I think, in looking back at it now, he wanted to, this is crazy. The words that are about to come out of my mouth are crazy. What you're about to hear is him saying that from that tense exchange, that was his motivation to write the songs on what is widely known as one of the greatest R&B songs of all time. And it started with the friction between Usher and I. The name of that album is Confessions. Here he is telling us. There's a lot to talk about, man. Yeah. So we brought it up initially, so let's just go ahead and stay there.
On the heels of one of the most incredible albums of my catalog, right, Confessions 20 years later, we got to talk a little bit about some of that moment and the amazing things that happened in it. Because of that moment, I got to tell you some things that happened.
Let's just go ahead and start there.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who weren't here 20 years ago, we just had a conversation about the fact that we hadn't really had a combo maybe in the last 18, mm-hmm. maybe 20 years, right? So the woman who I was dating at the time, Chili, she had a conversation with you, right?
It was a couple days before you came in.
And as a journalist, you did your job by making certain that you gave her the space and then reported what you saw or heard and also to what you guys spoke about, right? So now the ultimate no-no came out of that conversation. And with that ultimate no-no then led to the conversation that became Confessions. After that dialogue, the conversation of, oh, did Usher get a girl pregnant on Chili? It all started right here with this man.
Wait a second.
Oh, don't tell him that.
I didn't know this.
Yo, just so you did not know, that's what I'm saying.
No.
So what happened is, after that combo, that then spun the combo of, and by the way, we were still in the middle of me and her kind of, we were still talking, but not really. And we kind of moved past the idea of being in a relationship. But hey, the ultimate no-no was what it was. And after that, the Confessions album came out and the rest is history.
Wow.
But she didn't say what the ultimate no-no was.
So when you came in here, you were pretty fired up that day.
Yeah, I was hot.
You were really, really hot. Yeah. And I told these guys I didn't want to even go back down this road.
Well, we're celebrating it now because it became a success of almost 20 million albums sold. Great.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sounds like it was the springboard to something really, really great.
Oh, wait, you said something
to the effect of this show is responsible for the breakup of you and Chili.
Yeah.
And that's when I said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be responsible for your actions. And then we got into it. And man, it's past us.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. How about putting the past in the past?
Yeah. You buried it a long time ago.
Yeah. We did.
And now we're going to put champagne on it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Crazy.
That is, I mean.
What?
When you heard that, were you even able to absorb it when he said that?
No. No.
I don't know how you could. Like, I still can't. I got chills hearing it again.
And
what a gift for like, it was a gift for him to, like, free me of that tension because I think the moral of the story is something really great came out of a very rocky start of a relationship, you know?
I think there's a lesson to be learned there because I think a lot of people experience that. I think a lot of people take really horrible situations that happen to them, whether it's romantically or career-wise or whatever. You take these bad situations and you can either let it define you or you can take control of it. And he took control of it and made it part of his destiny and his journey with Confessions. And Yeah, a little something to do with that.
Isn't that crazy, man? So I was too stunned at the time to think about it, but it was Kaylee's wife who hit me up later and said, that's a great story. Where are your royalties? That's a really good point. Where's my money?
Because he said you inspired not only the song Confessions, but the entire album, and that is a iconic piece of work right there.
You know what's better than notoriety? Cash.
Better believe it.
So bear with us while we're still editing an hour and a half long interview, and we'll play it in a couple of parts for you, but there's a lot to chew on today. And if you can't listen to it live, listen to it later, but he told us, he gave us some nuggets yesterday. He told us that 2 hours before the Super Bowl halftime show, his back seized up on him.
It locked up.
Can you imagine that?
It locked up on him, and then there was the question that you asked him, what I would never have thought also.
Yeah, because I mean, my podcast listeners on In the Moment made it very clear to me, as much as you have playfully talked about this Usher and your girlfriend relationship, you better bring it up. And I wanted him to tell me if he was actually comfortable with the fact that the Trey Songz mantra was more so forced on him. So we got the answer out of him.
Dang, he just gave it up yesterday. And it's an interview that we should all be really proud of. And I think that you guys are really going to enjoy listening to it. Even if you're not a major Usher fan, you're going to want to listen to it, because listening to any kind of A-list celebrity that's on that level really be truly real and vulnerable is something special to listen to. So bear with us, and we'll play it through throughout the show this morning on The Burt Show.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It doesn't sit right with my soul. That's kind of been a fun theme we've been playing with on The Burt Show lately, where you're getting something off your chest that's just not sitting right with you. Like when I threw a sick burn at Abby and then immediately felt bad, and she did the same thing to Kristen and also felt bad right away. Now, we're all good and that was all in good fun, but sometimes you're not quite ready to confront your problems head on and you need someone to talk to. And while we love talking to you guys about your drama, sometimes it's above our pay grade and you need a professional to give you advice. I've been to therapy, and there's something so freeing about unloading your problems on a therapist that has your back and you know is there to help you. And that's where BetterHelp comes in. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BurtShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BurtShow.
The Burt Show.
I mean, yeah, 75% of the world who knows who Usher is.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say anybody that is into R&B, hip-hop, knows the name Usher. He's a superstar.
It's one of those things, like, if an artist can go by just one name, they're kind of a big deal.
They don't call him the king of R&B for nothing. Man is an icon.
So just let me give you some context, because we've got a lot of people in different cities that don't know the history here of Usher with The Burt Show. So let me quickly explain that history, and then we can sort of start to get into the feeling of the room before we play the first part of this conversation that we had with Usher. So to make a very long story short, 20 years ago, Chili from TLC broke up with Usher. It was worldwide news at the time. Chili was on with The Burt Show, and I asked her why they had broken up, and she said Usher committed the ultimate no-no. We all assumed what the ultimate no-no was. Those were the words she used, and that's the reason why they broke up. And I was explaining earlier this morning, back in those days, there wasn't Twitter, there wasn't Instagram, things weren't going viral. So it was old school. It was People Magazine, right? It was Entertainment Tonight, but it was worldwide news. It was everywhere when Chili said this. I can't remember why Usher was scheduled to come in on The Burt Show like a week later, but it wasn't to directly like talk about this. It was a different project he was doing, I think. So he comes on in studio. Again, this is 20 years ago when dude is 25 years old. He comes in studio, and one of the first things he says is, I just want to let you know that you and this show are the reason why me and Chili aren't together and will never be together again. And I'm like, I wasn't in that room. I didn't have anything to do with that no-no. So I said to him, I remember the exact words I used on him was like, that's not on us. You have to accept responsibility for your actions. And as one of you got really pissed. And this is all happening on the air. So we are having this heated back and forth. He leaves the studio. We have done a couple of projects since, but that tension was always lingering, right? Whenever I talked to him, there were never any kind of intimate moments. There was never any like vulnerability, nothing. And it has lingered there now for, I don't know, 18 years. So when we got the news that Usher was going to be in studio and we were invited to talk to him, I was eager to talk to him, like fangirling about it, because he is Usher, just did this amazing Super Bowl. But the truth of the matter is, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if that tension was still going to be there. I think you guys were probably feeling it also.
I did not feel tension. I think he did come in a little quiet and reserved. But definitely, I think after you guys kind of hashed some stuff out and he got, I think he had something on his chest that he wanted to get off. And then after he released that, it was, we just had the best interview.
So I wasn't going to mention this at all. I wanted to keep it 20 years ago. Look, I'm older, you're wiser, I'm still immature. but I didn't want to bring it up at all. I even told these guys, let's not even go down that road, right? Unless Usher goes down that road, and damn it, then we'll have to do something about it. We get an email from our bosses that say, before the interview, hey, why don't you guys not bring that thing up from the past? And I'm like, sounds good to me.
That works for me.
So Usher walks in the door, and he is the one that brings it up, right?
Immediately.
Almost immediately, with the most amazing twist ever that you'll hear here in a couple of seconds, but that heated conversation that I had with Usher 20 years ago was the springboard for him writing the songs on Confessions, which is, in the R&B world,
I mean, the most people consider it the greatest R&B album of all time. A lot of people do. That is not an exaggeration. I mean, it is certainly one of the best R&B albums of all time. That's not even debatable.
And this is not me interpreting or us interpreting his words. Those are the words that came out of his mouth. We were all stunned. We didn't want to believe it.
He definitely said that.
Mo was like, please take that back.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to do this with Bert. He's going to bring this up way too much in my life.
He also talks about the Super Bowl performance. Mo asks Usher a question that he sort of avoided quite a bit, or I don't even know how this ever came up.
Yeah, because he was mentioning like having jitters at times at this point in his career, and it made me wonder, like a performance like the Super Bowl, did you have some jitters for that? And he went into what it was like to put the set together, but then revealed to us that his entire back went out the day of, and well, that's a big deal.
It's crazy, uh-huh. Right? All right, Usher, on the Bert Show.
Yo, what's up? This is Usher. Oh my God.
Dude, it is good to see you, man.
It is great to be seen. Better to be seen than viewed.
Right? My dad used to tell you that joke all the time.
Am I doing dad jokes?
Oh, dad jokes.
I don't think that's a compliment.
This thing off wrong.
That's
too early, man. How's everybody doing?
Good, really good. So the story I was about to tell you,
okay, where
I stopped and I said, I'll just embarrass myself on the show.
Please do.
You just kicked ass on, I don't know if you know this, but you did pretty well on that Super Bowl halftime show.
Not sure if anybody told you.
Yeah.
Well, I heard it from somebody.
Yeah.
It wasn't 202.4 million people that saw it. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was amazing. It was amazing for Atlanta, too, by the way.
Oh, that's huge.
So that's where I'm going with this. So you and I haven't talked in 15 years or whatever, right?
It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. We haven't rubbed elbows at parties, right, you know, or anything right, like that. But I got so caught up, there you go, again, cliche, in your performance, not only for you, but for Atlanta,
absolutely,
that I immediately got on Instagram and I DM'd you. I'm sorry.
And shocker, you didn't respond. Yes. And that's totally
probably okay.
That's all good. My bad. It kind of got lost in the space.
Well, I'm sure you got a few.
Yeah, we were thinking right after you performed the Super Bowl, you probably got a few people sliding in your DMs to congratulate you for a job well done.
I never respond to those DMs.
Do you have some? Do you actually check any of your social, or do you have somebody do that for you?
No, I check some of them, but not all of them.
Yeah.
But on occasion, you know, I might respond.
People are mean out there. I would never check it if I didn't have to. No. You're smart.
So if it's okay, you notice this bottle of champagne when you walked in the room, right?
Are we looking at it or are we going
to
drink it?
We're going to drink it.
That's up to you.
We were sitting here and we're prepping for your interview, and I'm like, man, new album, new tour, that killer Super Bowl halftime. You got married. Ooh. You got 6 shows in Atlanta coming up.
Oh,
we need to celebrate.
That sounds like a reason to celebrate.
So I brought in some.
We're not drinking alone. Y'all having?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
Which, did you think it was just a you and her thing?
So I'm gonna go ahead and pop this bottle of Dom Perignon, and we're gonna pour it. You guys keep chatting, and we're gonna do a nice little cheers. Cause
don't mind the bubbles.
Don't mind the bubbles.
There's a lot to talk about, man. Yeah. So we brought it up initially. So let's just go ahead and stay there. No, Super Bowl.
Yes.
Not the other stuff. We ain't going. We're not. That's done. That's long, long gone.
By the way, on the heels of one of the most incredible albums of my catalog, right, Confessions 20 Years Later, we got to talk a little bit about some of that moment and the amazing things that happened in it. Because of that moment, I got to tell you some things that happened.
Okay. You want to start there?
Well, no. We'll have to eventually. We'll get there. I mean, I'll be here for a minute. You're not ready for me to leave, right?
Okay.
No, absolutely not.
Let's get it started.
Let's just go ahead and start there.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who weren't here 20 years ago, we just had a conversation about the fact that we hadn't really had a combo maybe in the last 18, mm-hmm. maybe 20 years, right? So the woman who I was dating at the time, Chili, she had a conversation with you, mm-hmm. right?
Right before you came, it was a couple days before you
came in.
The timing was just either really good or really bad.
By the way, and as a journalist, you did your job by making certain that you gave her the space and then reported what you saw or heard, and also to what you guys spoke about, right? So, there we go. right there. So now, the ultimate no-no came out of that conversation.
That's what she said, not me.
That's what she said.
Uh-huh.
And with that ultimate no-no then led to the conversation that became Confessions. After that dialogue, the conversation of, did Usher get a girl pregnant on Chili? It all started right here with this man.
Wait a second.
Oh, don't tell him that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, just so you did not know, that's what I'm saying.
No.
So what happened is, after that combo, that then spun the combo of, and by the way, we were still in the middle of me and her kind of, we were still talking, but not really. And we kind of moved past the idea of being in a relationship. But hey, the ultimate no-no was what it was. And after that, the Confessions album came out and the rest is history.
Wow.
But it was such intrigue. And this goes to show you how radio and how Bert does it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he has a conversation, all of a sudden, I guess people just naturally gravitate towards and it becomes credible, right? So that becomes Mr. Usher Raymond's getting girls pregnant, and he's in relationships with celebrities. I get it.
So what she had said was that the ultimate no-no. And
we didn't even say what she didn't say what the ultimate no-no was.
I think we could all assume what it was, though, right?
Yeah.
You know what happens when you assume.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
You're ready for that drink, aren't you?
I'm about to down that whole bottle the way this thing started.
You're ready.
Okay, so those glasses are for you, the bottle is for me.
So when you came in here, you were pretty fired up that day.
Yeah, I was hot.
You were really, really hot. Yeah. And I hate bringing this back up. I told these guys I didn't want to even go back down this road.
Well, we're celebrating it now because it became a success of almost 20 million albums sold. Great.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sounds like it was the springboard to something really, really great. But you said something to the effect of this show is responsible for the breakup of you and Chili.
Yeah.
And that's when I said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be responsible for your actions. And then we got into it. And man, it's past us.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. How about putting the past in the past?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You buried it a long time ago.
Yeah. 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 We did.
Now we're going to put champagne on it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes, sir. I did not know that that was sort of the springboard for the album and everything else.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and among other things, conversation and beefs that were not really beefs. It was more like charcuterie or something like that.
Charcuterie. So how much of the stuff, if you read it at all, or do you have people around you telling you about the rumors that are going on about you?
Yeah.
What's the percentage of that is actually true?
I don't spend enough time reading or getting caught up with what, you know, perception is. Reality is the work that I put in. And part of this is the fact that, you know, I gave up my anonymity many, many years ago. So people are going to have an opinion or have something to say. That's for them, you know, and Rather, it's now social media that chooses to have everybody be a journalist and say what they feel.
Right.
And it be credible. Or either having people who sit in your position to kind of narrate and give an understanding of where things are. I don't really focus on any of it. Everything that I offer as an artist is in the music and the creative that I offer. The rest of it is an opinion. You know, we all human, and at some point, everybody has a human experience. Unfortunately, I have to have mine in front of the entire world.
Right.
But that doesn't then open up dialogue and communication between the world. You know, what is personal is personal. Mm-hmm. What is, you know, music and what is our personal connection is the music and entertainment. So, yeah.
Do you feel like people have an entitlement because, especially for musicians, your art can be so personal?
Yeah, to some extent, yes. I mean, and people feel like they know you because they're listening to your story, or at least chapters of your story, the things that you've experienced in your life, the things that you've either, you know, felt that maybe other people can identify with.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you helped them get through good times, maybe, or hard times, and you gave them good times. But yeah, it's, you know, that's our connection. No, but otherwise, I don't go down far enough to look in the comment section. If I choose to, it's like, all right, gotta go. Yeah, not for me. That's not where I'm at.
For as much as this industry and music has given you in your life, has it also robbed you of the ability to be able to trust people?
Yeah. It's a bit hard because with every conversation, I guess it initially starts with, I'm going to judge you for face value, but I don't know what you want from me. And maybe there's something that I may say that may be misinterpreted. So the less I say, the better. Also, to this mantra that I think I've picked up is, the smartest man in the room is the one who's the most silent.
Mm-hmm.
So I listen, you know, and I try to have combo, you know, but for the most part, I'm like, all right,
What stage in your career did you learn that lesson where you got, like, somebody severely burned you or they broke your trust and you're like, I'm going to have to start keeping stuff close to the vest?
By the way, it's just life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not one specific person. It's actually watching other people go through things and then probably experiencing it firsthand yourself. But not one experience or any other. I just, you know, I have friendships and, you know, the things that I have been able to offer in my music, again, doesn't open a conversation and dialogue with each and every person about everything that happens in my life.
Usher taking over the station today.
Speaking of rumors and things that people put on you, I've always wanted to ask you this personally. I know they put this mantra on you of Mr. Still Your Girl, and I feel like you embrace it, but you didn't ask for it.
Huh?
And, see, exactly.
What are you talking about?
So my podcast, I had it going for you for about 3 weeks because I got a thing with my girl where you're the only guy who I've ever had to deal with hearing your name yelled in my ear by my girl, and I don't want to get into the details. I don't think it's necessary.
And you're okay. Wait, back up.
Nah. We can just move
shit,
past,
ladies and gentlemen. She screams my name while you're at what?
Nah. It was your music.
Real in here.
It was just the music.
Yeah.
To the point where I was going to take her to Vegas to see you, and she got so excited that I backed out of it. I was like, see, you got too excited. You messed it up. But that's not fair.
That's dirty.
See, he's different from me. I don't care who my lady is thinking about so long as I'm actually there.
Okay, see, that's a whole different another time. That's a different kind of problem. But does that ever bother you that I know you didn't ask for that, and I know that I feel like that was kind of forced on you?
That's actually not my handle. That's Trey Songz, Mr.
He says it, but I feel like they give you more pressure for it.
Yeah. No. I'm not actually trying to steal anybody's girl. And to be honest, when coming to my show, it's an experience. And that's what I wanted. I wanted people to come to Las Vegas, or either, if you've ever been to a show of mine.
I have.
I sing, you know, to the women. Of course, there's more women there sometimes than there are guys. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes or every time.
Every time.
Okay. He knows his audience. There's nothing wrong with that.
But you're playing to an audience that wants to have an experience. That's fun. And that was an intimate experience in Las Vegas. I actually received more requests for women to notice them than guys being mad because they thought maybe it was something. But nah.
Will the tour be that way?
It could be.
Yeah.
Is that a personal request?
So it sounds like it.
Nah, but maybe. Every time I do those types of shows, I wanted to have something that was a bit of the classic R&B kind of experience where you literally serenade a woman. You know what I'm saying? You kind of sing to her, you cater to her. eat her some strawberries and
a little champagne.
Yeah, maybe a little champagne and really put her on the spot, and you know. But it's more for fun. I don't think I went home with anybody. So,
but people came for a show. You gave them a show.
They came for a show and they left with who they came with.
The Burt Show.
All right, we're not done with Usher this morning. There is a whole nother segment to play for you guys from our conversation with him yesterday. Give us about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes or so. And he's going to tell you that that Super Bowl halftime show almost didn't happen, man.
That's not an exaggeration either.
At all. Like literally hours before the show.
His back locked up on it. I don't think he's told anybody that.
He was practicing a move, and as soon as he did it, 2 hours before the show, his back locked up, and he was like, and he and only one other person knew, and they were trying to hide it from everybody.
So we'll get into that here in about 25 minutes or so as soon as we're done editing it. Before we go on, though, some might call it a veteran radio move. Others might call it tacky regifting. That happened right before our interview with Usher. Do you want to go ahead and explain some of the behind the scenes here?
It would be my pleasure, Bert Weiss. So I'm sitting here in studio prior to the Usher interview, waiting for the time to come when I have to go pick up my son from preschool, drop him off, and come back here and interview Usher. My life is weird and I love it. And I had been thinking...
That is weird, man. When you think about it, that's the balance of life in the day, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was like me over the weekend. Saturday night, I have this wild surprise party thrown for me, and we're drinking, and we're doing it pretty well. And then the next day, I'm up tux shopping with my kid. Yep. For him. Those are the lives radio people live.
Uh-huh. So I'm sitting here, and I'm like, man, as I'm prepping for Usher, new album, new tour, the Super Bowl performance, got married. This is a huge year for him, and we really should celebrate. Well, if you're going to celebrate with a celebrity and you're going to bring a bottle of champagne, it better be damn good champagne. And I was like, I got a bottle of Dom Perignon in my fridge that we should pop for Usher. So we're just going to go full disclosure. Cassie was sitting here with me, and I'm like, Cass, what do you think of this idea?
Hell no! He can buy his own Dom Perignon. He's probably had it so much, it's just like sparkling Perrier to him.
Okay, so I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I've never had Dom. This is like 200 plus dollar bottle of champagne. And I'm like, yeah, but I really want to do this. And I think it'd be a good way to loosen up the interview and to have a little fun in the beginning and kind of set the tone.
And keep in mind, again, if you don't know the history here, there could have been a very tense beginning to that interview. So Kristen having the foresight to bring in some Dom was probably a really great idea.
For sure.
Not my first rodeo. So I go back to our program director after Cassie said that. And I'm like, yeah, I did want to save this for something for like me and my husband. And so I go to our PD's office and I'm like, hey, I got this idea. And I rattled off what I just said to you. And he goes like, oh, yeah, bring it in. I'll reimburse you. I'll buy you a bottle if you bring that one in. I'm like, perfect. So now I'm not out of bottle of Dom. So I go home. I do a quick change. I grab the bottle of Dom and my nice wine glasses. And I come in studio and I set it up. And we are on the air on cue. Before Usher walks in, and we're just getting all geeked out for the interview.
Remember, he's supposed to be in here at 1, but we all sort of knew that he's a superstar. It's not going to happen at 1. So we got in here at 1 and sort of had a filibuster while we were waiting for him. So we're all in studio. We go on the air queue. We start doing the Burt Show in the afternoon, but we're kind of stalling, but we got half an hour to sort of loosen up before he walks in the studio.
Exactly. Which I think was really nice. It was kind of cool.
Was.
And I mentioned to you guys that this is what I would like to do, the bottle of Dom, and to celebrate. And I thought it would be fun. And then Bert, I saw the realization come across your face and you put me on the spot on the air. What did you say?
I said, wait a second. Is that the bottle of Dom I gave you?
Yes, it is. 100%.
Full circle.
I re-gifted your bottle you gave to me. Wow, you got to enjoy it too.
I did. So Kristen throws these amazing house parties. And was that what this one was for?
It was a small New Year's Eve, intimate little New Year's Eve party we had. And you were very kind enough to bring a very nice bottle of champagne, Dom Perignon.
Which we didn't crack open that night, which I've got another question about. I mean, it was there for you. It was New Year's. You crack champagne on New Year's. There we are all together. And I don't think I realized that we didn't pop that bottle until I was walking out the door.
Do you know why? It's because we got too drunk and we got to a point where we were so drunk. I wanted to enjoy it and taste it and relish it. And I'm like, so we just started busting like the really cheap stuff, like the Lamarck and stuff like that.
But you had even said, look, we're just going to open this at another time when we're all together.
I did.
But then that will have to happen way in the future now, because now we don't have a bottle.
Now we have no bottle. I was supposed to save that for our crew, and I did not, because... Usher.
Yeah.
The perfect occasion for it and the perfect transition, since you started the interview by insulting him by telling him he was telling dad jokes, right?
Dad was so on it. I kid you not, though, you guys, when he's like, good to be seen, better than being viewed. That was the joke my dad said every single time he met somebody or when he saw somebody. He's like, hey, Jim, good to see you. And he's like, better be seen than it is to be viewed. So when Usher said that, I was like, oh, my God, Pops used to say that all the time.
I said to Abby afterwards, because we all went out to sell. We have a couple of things here at the radio station to celebrate. One of our competitors is not our competitors anymore. And within, you know, a business circle, that's to be celebrated. And then this interview that really turned into this vulnerable conversation wanted to celebrate also. So we go across the street, we're all hanging out, we're reflecting, and I said to Abby, I'm like, Abby, that right there is a veteran radio move, to bring in a bottle of Dom when Usher's in studio.
I know, I was taking notes. I'm like, this just gives me another excuse to go to ABC Liquor, or I don't even know, you get Dom at ABC Liquor, or Whole Foods.
You do. That's where I got it.
Whole Foods.
You're on The Burt Show.
What a day with Usher yesterday we had. If you missed it earlier this morning, we kind of played part one of our hangout with him. It didn't even really feel like an interview. It felt more like a hangout than anything else, right?
It was. We hung out with him for an hour.
An hour. We're drinking together and having champagne. Just kicking it. And some really amazing things happened in that first part. So go online and listen to it at theburtshow.com, including him crediting The Burt Show for being the inspiration for the album Confessions, which is crazy to me, right? So let's play the second part. And even this doesn't do the whole thing justice. So tomorrow we'll have the entire interview up for you guys online. And with any luck at all, we'll have video too. Because, I mean, it's Usher. You want video. You need video, right?
He's unfortunate to look at.
Yeah, he's not aesthetically displeasing. So what you'll hear here is us going in and asking him about the wedding. I mean, the dude just performed one of the best halftime shows of all time at the Super Bowl. For most people, they're going out drinking at that point or taking it in. Not this dude. Let's go ahead and just stack core memory on core memory, right? So he talks about that. What does it look like when, like, the most romantic guy in R&B proposes? What did that look like? And he really got very introspective about competing against his own former self. He doesn't see other R&B artists, other pop artists as competition. Usher is competing against Usher.
Yo, what's up? This is Usher. Oh, my God.
So it's Super Bowl halftime. It's like the night of your life.
Yeah.
I like to space out my core memories. You like to get them all done in one night.
I'm kind of like an all-in guy.
Yeah, you are. So you get done with this performance. The adrenaline, I'm sure, is just coursing through your veins. And then you get married that night?
Who doesn't want to be married and officiated by Elvis Presley?
Right.
Let's be real here now.
Me. Right. but I'm curious, was that a spontaneous, like, in the moment, this can only get better with one more thing, is if we get married, or was that pre-planned?
No, it was a little bit of both. I'd been engaged for 2 years prior, so it was a great opportunity for us to be able to celebrate. We had talked about it 2 years before,
and we're trying to find the right time to make certain that everybody was there. And we got our certificate a few days actually before, actually 2 nights before. And we're like, okay, well, maybe we'll do it the week of. We just kind of thought, you know what, let's do it right now. This is the greatest moment. Let's do it right now. So we just decided to go ahead and get it done. Our kids were there. Family members were there. Not everybody. I'm going to have a full ceremony. But, you know, it's probably a, you know, cost-effective way to do this thing.
You're really worried about that, huh?
But Elvis... Elvis was really the end all be like, no, we got to do this. You don't want to hold Elvis up, right?
How does the one of the most romantic men in the world, or at least impression wise, it's got to be a lot of pressure in that proposal. So how romantic was the proposal? What did you do?
The proposal? The proposal was very personal. It was between me and her, and we happened to be at a family member's home. And it was an impromptu thing. I wasn't the guy who was taking the photo with the ring, you know, the entire month before.
Behind her back.
Behind her back in her hand. I wasn't that dude.
Right.
But I definitely had it long enough to analyze when the perfect moment would be. And our kids were there.
I want to go even further back. So I have a friend who they actually moved different states to help their son with his football career. He's only a sophomore in high school. Family uproots themselves to help him pursue his passion. Right. And I know your family did that for you when you were younger. They saw the talent and they were like, we're moving to Atlanta where there's opportunity.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, obviously that's a huge sacrifice. Do you think you would still be sitting here with all those accolades and where you are now had your family not made that sacrifice? Were you destined? I mean,
I think there was opportunity that was greater for our entire family in Atlanta. It wasn't just for my career. My career also too could stand to benefit from being closer to a major city. Chattanooga, Tennessee is where I'm originally from. But Atlanta is home for me. My mother was married at the time. She was married to a man who was a truck driver, and his business primarily was located in Atlanta. So it was a more accommodating thing for him that led to something great for me.
Yeah. And I do feel like there's
Do you think that your career would have been different? No, I think I would have been just as much in pursuit and I would have found a way. Because I was in a major city, it made it easier. But I think I was so heavily pursuing upon a career, and once I recognized what I wanted to do, I happened to be 11 or 12 years old when I recognized, wait a minute, I'm not going to be an athlete. You know, I'm okay in school, but not a scholar in that way. I'll get a doctorate for another reason. But I wanted to, you can catch that joke, right? So the idea of finding focus and finding a purpose at a younger age was like, okay, I'm committed to this, and I wasn't going to stop until I figured out how to do it successfully.
Yeah, because I feel like your destiny will find you no matter which route you take. So which route you would have taken, we still would have you in this chair having just performed the Super Bowl halftime
show. Beautiful thing how destiny and affirmation works, right? Among, you know, your ideas and your hopes, your dreams, you know, there are other things that then happen that are incredible, that then make up a career. But so long as you have an idea of where you want to go, you can get there. You just have to stay committed to that concept and idea. Yeah, it probably would have led me here, or maybe you wouldn't have been here. Maybe we would have been somewhere else.
I know, right?
If it were not intended for us to have this moment, we wouldn't have it.
I know.
He can't help but be sexy. Man, you can't even help it. So now here you are, like 35 years or whatever from the beginning. Do you ever take any time at all to reflect on the impact that you've had, not only in Atlanta, but the impact that you've had in the industry also? Are you waiting for like retirement for all that? Or do you allow yourself to embrace it?
I mean, of course. You know, I have to remind myself daily. I think I have reached an age where I now am okay with accepting the work that I have done. Most of my life has been built in getting to the next job, getting to the next focus, getting to the next thing to really zero in on.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
But I now have reached a place where I'm actually okay with celebrating some of the things that I've done. They're pretty miraculous. You know, it's just, you know, looking at this trophy that I have in my house that isn't even a Grammy. It's not an Oscar, but it's an NBA team that won the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty major that I did that in this lifetime. Or, you know, winning these Grammys. That's pretty good. We're selling 1.1 million units after the Burt conversation with Chili. You know, that's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. No, but I'm happy that people recognize what I've done. That has been really all about my passion. I'm proud of what I've done, but it's not all that I'm going to do. I want to do more. I want to offer more. I hope that this is an example, you know, of what can happen if you choose to believe in your dream, you know, and, you know, rather it's in this field or others, it's about being committed and dedicated and sticking to that until something happens.
In your reflecting, do you ever feel the need to compete with old Usher when you working on your new project coming
Absolutely.
Home?
Absolutely.
You can take him down?
I'll be trying to tear him down every time I'm in the gym, every time I'm in the studio, trying to outdo me. You know what I'm saying? But and that is how you should live your life. You should be in competition with yourself to better yourself, to outdo what you have done as your best time, you know? Whether you're an athlete or you're an artist, right? It's like, okay, I really want to continue to be as committed as I was at this moment. And now you got a million and one other things. You got kids, you got a job, you got, you know, other passions, things. And you're trying to figure out how to manage to make your days work. And there's only 24 hours in it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, yeah, I stay in competition with myself. Not one specific thing. Like, oh, I sold this amount of albums, so I have to. No, it's more about, hey, I had a certain focus. I had a certain passion. I had a certain commitment. So I have to move things around. Sometimes I have to, you know, beg of my family. Give me enough space to be able to focus on this. I'll be back, but I really got to focus on this.
That's important to surround yourself with the people that can really help you flourish.
That's true. And I'm happy to have kids and a wife that understand that, because sometimes, you know, I might miss incredible moments, mm-hmm. but it's like I'm really dedicated to this thing and I need to finish it. When I finish it, I'll be right. You can do it with me, but you know, I have to stay committed to this.
Yeah. This feels like the best version of Usher. Do you feel like this is the best version of you now? Are you here?
I mean, I'm present. So, I mean, I'm the best of me until I'm the other me.
What are you working on most right now?
Man, just being the best father that I can, understanding that you have to love your kids differently, each and every one of them. You got to deal with them differently. That's not a one-fit-all type situation with kids. You know, trying to be mindful of what the next 20 to 30 years are going to look like while still being passionate and committed in this moment. I'm also, too, trying to make certain that I don't think of this as just a short goal, you know, to be, you know, great and celebrated in this moment. The king of something. It's like, nah, that ain't really the goal for me. I want a kingdom. I want to build things. I want to be able to take my creativity and allow it to span far past just the outlet that I've had so long, whether it's in, you know, the lifestyle and the things that I curate, the places that I go. When you come to the show, it's a curation. It's not a show. It's a curated moment that is offering you an aesthetic, something that you hopefully will remember, something that will then lead to something else, something you might wear, something you might hear, feel.
With the fact that you've been crushing shows for so long, did you have some of those same jitters for the Super Bowl, or did it feel like business as usual?
It felt like Vegas as usual. But business as usual, there's nothing like the 12 minutes that turned into 15 minutes for me. It's really, really hard to curate a 12-minute show, because you don't want to miss anything. You want to make certain that people get enough. You want to make certain that they feel something. I shared the stage, obviously, with a lot of people. That helped to make certain that it felt like a full experience. And, yeah, I was, you know, more anticipating getting to the stage and doing it, not the jitters. I will say this. Let me see. About 2 hours prior to hitting the stage, my back locked up.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it was crazy, right? So early that morning, me and Will, we went back to, it's funny because I'm shooting a documentary and I did not allow my cameras to be there because I just kind of woke up and was like, you know what? I got this idea. Will, meet me at the rehearsal space. So I go in there and I'm rehearsing the moment where I slide through his legs and I do a split and something happens. Oh. But I don't tell anybody. Okay.
Could anybody see it? Could anybody see it?
Nobody saw it. He and I were the only two people that were there, but I didn't tell him either. I'm like, okay, cool, fine. So we go to rehearsals. We go through the full thing. This is the first time, by the way, that I'm on, because they wouldn't allow you to actually be on the grass prior. So I'm like, okay, I hope that I don't slip, because now my shoes, do they work with them? I mean, I'm not dancing in cliques, you know what I'm saying? So I had to do that. So I'm like, my back is getting a little tight. So right before getting ready to hit the stage, I literally have to call my trainer to come in. He does not have credentials. So now you got people scrambling all around to try to get this guy in to help open my back for the show. Man, I was like literally like, oh my. Have you ever had your back lock up?
Not really, no.
Okay, cool. You don't have that.
No, I'm young, man. At my age, you don't got to worry about those things, dude.
Pain that, you know, would have definitely killed the whole performance. But, man, thank God for Mike Mencia. He works for two guys. He works for me and LeBron James. And
Humble Flex. Ooh. Yeah, right? He's not so humble. Yeah. Where, in your mind, does it rank as far as Super Bowl halftime shows go?
It's the greatest ever show that I've ever performed in my mind. I can't say in comparison to somebody else's, but I'm going to tell you, for me, it was one of the highlights of my life, and I really enjoyed it.
Great.
Right, so all of the shows up until that point, I think I was analyzing or trying to figure out how to make certain that everything was perfect. I ran it so many times that by the time it was the moment to go, I could just enjoy it. I literally was on cruise control, other than my back. But other than that, I was like, I'm really enjoying this moment. Not often do you get a chance to stop and look and realize. It's almost like this moment that happens in a movie where it's like the fourth wall comes open mm-hmm. and you get a chance to look at the world. It was that kind of moment for me.
You know, there's that old saying that youth is wasted on the young. Don't you wish that we had this perspective back in the day?
Yeah.
You know? Because you certainly have it now, man, and it feels good, right?
It does, man. It does. And if we could choose to celebrate all the moments and be okay with the journey, I think that we could maybe learn a little bit quicker. Maybe for the people who are listening to this who are eager to get to this place of success, yo, celebrate your moments where you think you're down just as much as you celebrate the moments when you're up, because they mean something, man. They mean something, and they're going to make you better. They're going to make you grand. They're going to make you great, but you have to be okay and forgive yourself and move forward. Get better. Just get better. Try to be better.
I hope you come back in here. It's been so great seeing you and talking to you.
Well,
again.
You didn't say anything stupid this time, so you're fine.
Hey, I launched the dude's career. What are you talking about, man?
He's going to tell everybody he inspired confessions now, right?
Yeah. Usher,
confessions 2 coming soon.
My dude, it's really good to see you, man. Continued success, and I hope to see you again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I had a great time.
Really hope you guys enjoyed that with Usher. And it's not done. I mean, we hung with him for over an hour. There's no way, you know, with the format of radio anymore, you can run the whole thing on a show like ours. So we'll have the unedited version up tomorrow. We'll put both of those. If you missed the first part, that's up online on our podcast already. Second part will be up also. So if you have somebody you know is a huge Usher fan, have them go there and check it out. And more importantly than anything else, I mean, is Usher video going up online tomorrow also. It's The Burt Show.
You're on The Burt Show.